The wolf shifter came to us on a Monday, though he didn't ruin his own life until 2 days later. He was the first shifter I'd ever seen, and I didn't recognize him as one right away. He was in his human form, and to a mortal with untrained eyes, his wolf identity wasn't easily discernible. He looked like an ordinary man in his late 20s, albeit a stunningly good-looking one, all pent-up strength and well-built muscles, the type most women's eyes would linger on. However, it was his eyes, dark and troubled, that really attracted attention. Or at least, my attention. I guess I liked them brooding and mysterious. I had just turned 19. I didn't really know what I liked or not just yet. He waltzed into the shop like a man on a mission, his determination amusingly evident across his handsome features. I'd seen him pace the street a couple of times before making his grand entrance. I stared at him carefully. With the storm blazing behind his gaze, you'd think he was here to start a fight. The tension emanating from him slightly abated when he noticed me, though not by much. "I'm here to see the magician," he told me in a commanding tone. "I'd like to make a wish." "No shit," I replied, returning a book to a shelf with carefully crafted detachment. The book probably didn't belong there at all, but I didn't know my way around the shop yet. I'd only started working there 2 months ago. Though, calling it working was a bit of an overstatement. It's not like I was getting paid or anything. "Aren't you going to go get him?" the shifter asked, crossing his arms. "No thanks," I replied. "I choose life." And when our visitor's expression hardened into a displeased scowl, I added, "He's off today, hangover." The shifter clenched his jaw, debating whether or not to force his way to getting what he wanted. But in the end, he slowly nodded his head after exhaling a long breath. "When should I come back?" he asked. "Hopefully never, for your sake," I mumbled under my breath. But I wasn't allowed to say that. I wasn't allowed to warn any potential clients, no matter how foolish they were for coming here thinking magic would better their lives somehow. "Come back tomorrow." Chapter 2. Iris. Caleb, for that was his name, didn't come back the following day but the one after that. I frowned upon seeing him again. He looked almost sheepish as he walked back into the shop. Maybe he had discussed his intentions about making a wish with someone who had warned him about the consequences. Or perhaps he was just embarrassed by his previous display of anger. No matter. I led him to a back room where Adrian was busy building a house of cards as if his life depended on it. It didn't make him look particularly professional, but, and this I was quick to find out, he didn't give a flying fuck about what people thought of him or not. "Client," I announced, ushering Caleb into the room. Adrian ignored him, adding an ace of hearts to his little project. Honestly, running this shop wasn't my responsibility, but I felt ashamed nonetheless. "He was already here 2 days ago," I added, eyeing my boss and caretaker critically. Once again, I wondered why my father had asked Adrian to take care of me, in the event of his death, a death which had occurred only 3 months ago. I had no knowledge of Adrian's existence before then, and still knew nothing about what tied him to my father to the point where he thought leaving me in his care would be a good idea. Especially when one knew what the man did for a living. "I'll be with you in a second," Adrian said, picking up another card with utmost concentration. He was such an odd character, from the way he looked, always disheveled like he'd just gotten out of bed, to his unsociable and reclusive manners. Yet nothing was as odd as his job. A magician, I learned, who granted people wishes, any wish from raising a cat from the dead to making one become president. Adrian's powers were practically unlimited when it came to granting wishes, an ability granted to him long ago by a demon who, in return, requested that the wisher paid a hefty price for Adrian's services. No price, no wish. "What is it you desire?" Adrian asked, flicking a finger at his construction, which toppled to the ground. "To become alpha of your pack?" Caleb blinked at him in surprise, making Adrian smirk. "Don't act so surprised. Becoming the alpha is usually what any shifter wants. Sounds like a hassle to me, but what do I know?" I wasn't sure what being an alpha meant exactly, but I was quite certain it couldn't be as much of a hassle as being a magician who ruined people's lives for a living. "Well, it's not what I want," Caleb replied with a frown. "Oh?" Adrian shrugged. "Then what would you like me to do for you?" The shifter briefly hesitated, but squared his shoulders in resolve. My brother just took a mate, he explained with a displeased expression. I would like you to break the bond. Chapter 3. Caleb. Caleb was part of an impressively large pack. It was far from the biggest or the most powerful in the country, but it had influence nonetheless. However, it hadn't always been so. It took years for his pack to make a name for itself and establish its position among the shifter community. When Caleb was young, they had been small and insignificant, vulnerable to other wolves and dependent on other packs for survival. Caleb's mother had suffered the consequences of this weakness. They had been attacked by rogues while Caleb's father had been away from the den, and she had been left alone to protect her children. Kara had perished at the hands of rogue wolves in front of Caleb and his older brother's eyes. This tragedy had only strengthened the two brothers' strong will to help their father rebuild their pack, which is why Caleb didn't understand how his brother, their future alpha, on whom the entire pack's survival rested, could have chosen such a weak, insignificant Omega Wolf for his mate. Or, rather, he did understand. Rowan was a strong, willful wolf with all the qualities to lead, but he was kind and too magnanimous for his own good. He was always trying to help people, save the unsavable, making the world a better place. So, when he met Annie, the very definition of a damsel in distress, the most fragile, ill-equipped wolf to ever encounter the pack, of course, he had taken it upon himself to become her protector. It was only a matter of time before he declared Annie his mate, for what better way for her to be protected than to mate with an alpha as powerful as Rowan? Caleb had nothing against Annie. She was bland and boring and perfectly insignificant, but she'd done nothing wrong. It wasn't her fault she didn't have what it took to mate with his brother. But he'd be damned if he'd let the Omega ruin all that his family had built. Annie wasn't fit to lead. Annie had nothing to bring to the table. Annie wasn't even particularly beautiful or lovable. Annie had to go. Chapter 4. Iris. So you want me to break your brother's bond? Adrian resumed after Caleb finished telling us his life story. By that point, I was feeling much less sympathetic to his plight because, in my opinion, it was none of his business whom his brother wanted to marry or mate with, as they liked to call it among shifters. I didn't believe it was Caleb's place to choose who his brother loved, but I also knew it was none of my business to comment on what Caleb chose to wish for, so I kept quiet. Yes, I want him to forget about Annie and find a better suited mate for the job, Caleb continued, looking more and more resolute as time passed. Honestly, what a selfish prick. Can you make that happen? He asked, looking somewhat intrigued. She is his mate, but not his fated mate? Adrian asked. Caleb nodded solemnly. I would never request breaking a fated bond, he replied. Then yes, I can do it. Adrian gave him a hardened look. But it will cost you. I frowned in annoyance. Why did he have to agree to such a selfish, obtuse wish? How much do you want? Caleb asked. It's not money I want. I'll grant your wish. And in exchange, I'll take what matters most to you. I shiver, just like I always do when Adrian explains what a wish costs. What matters most to you? But what is it that matters most to a person? And in Caleb's case, what is it that matters most to a wolf shifter looking to protect his brother and his pack? I guess that would be my Lamborghini, he says with a displeased frown, making me roll my eyes. A car? That's his big thing? Really? But I'm happy to give it up for Rowan's sake, he adds. Adrian sags into a chair, sending our guest a bored look. I guess I could use a new car, he says with a shrug. Though, keep in mind what matters most to people is rarely what they'd expect. I can't guarantee I'll be taking your car for payment. I'll be taking what matters most to you. It's definitely the car, Caleb insists with a smirk. It's vintage. If you say so, Adrian shrugs. I'll let you think about it for a minute. I think my assistant wants a word. He turns to me, who indeed wanted a word, or more accurately, to yell at him for agreeing to grant this stupid shifter's wish. Don't do it, I implore, once we're alone in the adjacent room. It's a selfish wish. He's going to ruin this couple's chance at happiness. I don't make the rules, Adrian reminded me, sounding perfectly indifferent to my plight. If a client wishes to make a wish, then I'm obligated to accept. But you could discourage him, I argue. Make him understand what he wants is wrong. How would you know it's wrong? You've met him for all of 10 minutes, and you don't know the brother or the mate. She could be a conniving bitch for all you know. I pout, displeased. Do what you want, then, I say, exiting the room. You always do. And he did. Minutes later, Adrian would grant Caleb his wish, and somewhere, not too far from here, a bond would break. Chapter 5, Caleb. A month later, Caleb comes home to the pack house to find Annie sitting by herself on the porch, drinking one of those insipid herbal infusions she liked. It doesn't even smell good, he tells her, eyeing her cup. Seriously, why do you drink that stuff? Caleb! Annie greets him warmly, as if she's only just realized he was there. Some wolf she made. Most members of the pack would have heard him coming from miles away, but Annie was always daydreaming about one thing or another, as if she didn't have a care in the world. Caleb didn't regret breaking the mating bond she had with Rowan for a second. Neither of them were the wiser. They didn't even remember being bonded to begin with, and hadn't suffered from this new reality where a romantic relationship between them was never in question. Caleb had made sure of that when making the wish. He didn't want Rowan to renew the bond down the line, and he had to ensure he'd never be tempted to court Annie ever again. Also, he hadn't wanted Annie to be sad. She may be useless, but Caleb wasn't a monster. He had no desire to break a poor girl's heart. Annie was nice. She didn't deserve that. Would you like me to make you one? She smiles, pointing at her drink. It's a bit of an acquired taste, but it's very good for the body. Caleb had no desire to try her drink whatsoever, but Annie looked so hopeful and eager to please that, for some reason, he replied, I guess if you add whiskey to it? I can do that, she said, looking pleased. Wait here. They drank their infusion together in silence after that. Caleb had always known Annie wasn't particularly skilled in the art of conversation, just like she wasn't particularly skilled at anything at all. Most women from the pack were always eager to speak with him, either about a pressing matter that needed solving, or with the intent to flirt. The Alpha's younger brother was a rather promising catch, after all. Annie didn't attempt any of those things, though. She just sat there, emanating peaceful waves that, while unsettling at first, felt rather nice now that he thought about it. You know, Caleb, she tells him as he's about to retreat back inside. I always wanted to thank you. Thank me? He asked, genuinely surprised. Yes, I'm very grateful your family agreed to take me in. That wasn't my decision, Caleb confessed, feeling rather uneasy. Maybe not, but I know your brother and father. They'd never have agreed to let me stay if you'd argued against it. And for that, I thank you. An uncomfortable feeling settled in Caleb's gut. Sure, he hadn't argued against Annie staying, but he'd never encouraged it either. He was never particularly enthusiastic about the idea. And ever since she'd arrived, he'd made no effort to help Annie settle in or train to become a stronger wolf like he would with other members of their pack. He'd seen her as a lost cause and chosen to ignore her over and over again. And yet, here she was, thanking him as if he'd shown her any kindness? That didn't feel right. I know I'm not very strong, Annie said, smiling sadly. So, I'm really grateful you've given me a chance, Caleb. Thank you. Why are you telling me this now? He asked, curious. Annie turned away. Because your brother has arranged for me to be mated, she says, in a bright voice that didn't match her expression at all. He's from another pack, so I'll be leaving soon. Chapter 6, Caleb. Caleb agreed to act as Annie's chaperone during the courting period. Even though the match was already arranged, both parties were to get to know each other better prior to the mating ceremony, to ensure the viability of the match. Because they were from different packs, custom warranted that Annie be accompanied by a member of her own pack for protection, and when Rowan requested Caleb take on the role, he couldn't find it in his heart to say no. That was partially because his brother and future Alpha requested it, but also because he was excited at the idea of Annie finding a mate outside the pack. She'd be assured of future and protection, but away from Caleb and his family. Best of both worlds, so to speak. Now, if only Annie was a little more enthusiastic about it. Corbin is as good a wolf as any, he tells her, driving her to her meeting in his Lamborghini, which, against all odds, hadn't been confiscated by the magician. Caleb had been kind of worried about it, actually, wondering what this thing that mattered to him most was, if not his car. But in the days after making his wish, nothing and no one he cared about had gone missing, so Caleb had concluded that whatever mattered to him most probably hadn't been very significant. Maybe it was an old photo or toy he'd forgotten about somewhere. "I'm sure he is," Annie agrees easily. "I'm very lucky to have found a match with a strong wolf." She says the words like she's practiced them, like they aren't particularly genuine. Annie is always very genuine. It's practically her defining trait. "Give him a chance," Caleb encourages, feeling slightly guilty again. It happens more and more often when he's around Annie and he doesn't like it. "If you don't like him, then you won't have to mate with him," he adds without thinking. What is he saying? Of course, she'll have to mate with him. It's Annie's best chance at a safe future, one they were very lucky to secure for her, given her low status and weak disposition. "But she'd been luckier before," a little voice whispers in his mind. "She was your alpha's mate, your own brother's mate. There is no better wolf than Rowan, but you took that away from her." "Don't worry, Caleb," Annie places a hand on his arm, misinterpreting his unease for something else. "I'll make Corbin like me. I won't let you down." The unease Caleb feels only grows further. Chapter 7. Caleb. "To be honest," Corbin says, after Annie has left them alone to discuss pack politics, "I'm not very difficult. I just want a nice mate who can cook and bear my children. I don't care that she's not very strong. And your father promised me a nice dowry for her." He says this reassuringly, as if this is something Caleb will be happy to hear. Strangely, he probably would have been happy to hear it only a month ago. But ever since making his wish, ever since he tore Annie and Rowan apart, he just hasn't been the same. "It's just the guilt talking," he tells himself, as he tries to hold back a grimace at Corbin's words. Annie's not some stock that can be cheaply bargained and exchanged for pragmatic reasons. She's a person, with thoughts and feelings. But it's like everyone has forgotten about that somehow. Even Annie herself doesn't seem to pay any mind to her own reservations, as if her hopes and dreams were inconsequential. "But what did you think of him?" he asks as they're driving back home. "He's a strong wolf," she replies, ever so politely. "Yeah, we've established that, Annie. But did you like him?" "What's not to like?" "I'm very lucky to have found a match, Caleb. I know that. I'm grateful." Caleb grinds his teeth, feeling an unfamiliar aggravation rise within him. It's not just about finding a random match. It's about finding love and happiness. He feels foolish once the words are out. Annie is looking at him as if he's grown a second head. She's assessing his expression, as if trying to guess what he wants to hear, and it kind of breaks his heart because he realizes she's always done so. "I don't know what you want me to say," she confesses in a small, fragile voice. "Do you think you could grow to love him?" he asks. Annie hesitates a moment, but then she averts her eyes and replies, in the firmest tone he'd ever heard her use. "My heart has always belonged to another," she confesses, "and it always will." Caleb's heart sinks at the words. It's a foreign feeling. All these new feelings are strange and uncomfortable, and he doesn't understand where they're coming from. "But don't worry," Annie adds, placing her small hand on his arm. "He's not someone I stand a chance with. I'll mate with Corbin, I promise. I would never let you down, Caleb." Chapter 8, Caleb. The date for Annie and Corbin's mating ceremony has been set, and it's everything Caleb should have hoped for. Yet, for some reason, the faster the day approaches, the more anxious he becomes. It's driving him insane to the point where he's losing focus, sleep, and appetite. He just cannot stand the idea of Annie leaving with a wolf she doesn't truly want, just because she believes she cannot do better. Just because Caleb has ensured she wouldn't do better. He's ruined her happiness. She says she loves another who would never have her. Except, Caleb knows the man she loves would have, and in fact had, taken her for a mate. Annie was happy with Rowan, and Caleb had taken that from her. "How about I train Annie personally?" he offers his brother. "If she became stronger, we could find her a better match." Rowan doesn't object. He still cares for Annie and would like nothing more than to see her happy. So Caleb starts spending time with her, hunting in their wolf forms, practicing her fighting skills, trying to attune her senses and control over her abilities. and he can see how hard Annie tries to improve, how much she's hoping to become stronger. Except, he realizes, not for herself or the chance to find a better mate. Annie's just doing it because she's trying to please him. Maybe that's your problem, he snaps at her in anger, an anger directed at himself, but that he's letting out on her like the miserable man he is. You're always thinking of other people and what they want. What do you want, Annie? Do you want to be stronger? Her kind smile breaks, and tears prick her eyes, making Caleb feel like the lowest of the low. It doesn't matter what I want, Annie says with resolve, because I won't ever have it. I know that, and I've made peace with that. But if I can bring a smile to someone else's face, then at least it won't have been a waste. You're not a waste, Caleb protests, feeling it in his heart to be true. It's not because Annie isn't strong, can't fight or defend them, that she doesn't play a role within the pack. She's calm, collected, and understanding. She reads people easily, always finds a way to help them even to her own detriment. That's not nothing. Caleb can't believe he ever thought it was nothing. Please don't be angry with me, Annie says, taking his hand. I just want you to be happy, Caleb. I always have. Chapter 9. Iris. Caleb is back at our shop not long after that event. I'm upstairs making dinner when he arrives, because I've realized that if I don't make him food, Adrian tends to forget to feed himself. Since he's the one putting a roof over my head and paying for my school tuition, I'd best make sure he stays alive. All this to say, he's the one who greets Caleb into the shop, and I only become aware of his presence once I hear yelling from below. Curiosity gets the better of me, and I hurry to the entrance of the shop to discover our shifter client yelling at Adrian in a tone that makes me freeze in fear. Adrian had told me Caleb wasn't human once he'd left the shop after making his wish, and I now realize he was right. He's frankly terrifying, like a beast about to pounce. I'll pay whatever you want or do whatever you want, I don't care, but you have to cancel my wish, he's ordering, backing Adrian into a corner. The latter is perfectly indifferent to his plight or the perilous situation he is in, though. I couldn't cancel your wish even if I wanted to, he explains, as one would discuss the weather. Once it's done, it cannot be undone until the day I die. Caleb looks like he's seriously considering making that happen, so I jump in, my heart beating against my ribcage. What if he makes a second wish? Would that work? Adrian's eyes snap up to him, and he's suddenly looking displeased. Go back upstairs, Iris. But, I insist, what if— One wish per person, no refunds, Adrian declares, giving Caleb a cold, intransigent look. Caleb's anger deflates before my eyes, replaced with a sharp, heartbreaking sadness. Please, he begs, in a silent, defeated tone. If not for me, then for her. Annie's a good person, the best, really. And she's about to mate with someone who doesn't even see that, who doesn't even see the beautiful soul she has. But Rowan did. He would have made her happy. What I did to her was unfair. Life is unfair, Adrian interrupts in a bored tone. Now leave us, Shifter. You're scaring my assistant, and she doesn't easily get scared. I won't have it. Caleb leaves our shop looking like his entire world has just ended. We never see him again. But a week after Caleb's departure, another shifter comes into the shop. A frail, pale-looking girl with very light blonde curls, freckles, and earnest brown eyes who wouldn't look powerful or impressive even if she tried. But she doesn't try. She greets us with a warm, hopeful smile. It's Annie. I heard that you grant wishes, she tells Adrian with peaceful resolve. So, I've come to make one. I wonder if Caleb confessed what he's done to her. It must be why she is here. After all, he can't make a second wish. But Annie could very well make one for herself, to annul Caleb's and be reunited with Rowan, her alpha mate. All right, Adrian says, giving her an assessing look. What is it you desire? Annie's expression becomes resolute. There's someone in our pack who's so worried about us being vulnerable that he focuses his entire life on making sure we're safe instead of thinking about his own happiness. I don't think he even knows how to be happy, you understand? She frowns sadly. It's because when he was little, his mother died protecting him. He feels guilty. And he's afraid that if he starts thinking with his heart rather than his head, he'll lose everything again. But he deserves better than that. He's a good man, and he deserves to be happy. I just want him to be happy. Is that your wish? Adrian asks, not unkindly. Yes, sir. I wish for the man I love to be happy. I become nervous. Adrian hasn't even told Annie about the consequences of making a wish, and she's already lost everything once because of his magic. It doesn't seem fair that she should face consequences again for wanting someone to be happy. I open my mouth to tell her so, but Adrian snaps me a warning look and replies, Very well. Tonight, the man you love will ask something of you. Agree to it, and you'll ensure his happiness forever. A bright, relieved expression spreads across Annie's features. I will! She immediately agrees with heartwarming enthusiasm. It really will make him happy? I guarantee it, Adrian replies with a small smile. Oh, thank you, Annie exclaims. Thank you, sir, really. She gets up from her chair, eager to get the task done, but then turns back around as if she just remembered something. What do I owe you? For the wish? She asks timidly. Adrian shrugs. That one's free of charge, he replies. Chapter 10. Caleb. Annie will be mated to Corbin tomorrow, and Caleb has decided that it's unacceptable. She has made it very clear that she's only agreeing to this union to please their pack. But she needs to understand that everyone needs her here. Caleb needs her here. He doesn't want Annie to leave, especially not if it's going to make her unhappy. But he also understands that Annie needs a mate. So, really, there's only one thing left for him to do. He knocks on her bedroom door, feeling more nervous than he thought he would. He had barely knocked once when Annie already appears, looking hopeful and expectant. Caleb! She exclaims, sounding confusingly relieved. I was worried you weren't going to show, but you're here! She pulls him inside her room and makes him sit on a chair, which Caleb does, feeling uncharacteristically dumbfounded. Go ahead, Annie encourages him, squeezing his hands. Tell me, what can I do for you? Caleb frowns in confusion. How do you know I have something to ask you? A hunch, she replies with a smile. Annie looks once again, so eager to please. Caleb doesn't know what to do with himself. Well, he hesitates. I've been meaning to ask you. He suddenly feels very foolish. It seemed like a good idea when it had formed in his head, but now that he is about to say it to Annie, he realizes how selfish he is being once more. Caleb's plan was to ask Annie to mate with him instead of Corbin. If she became his mate, she wouldn't have to leave the pack, where Caleb knows she is happy. She would remain with her family, but would be mated and protected, and he'd be a good mate to her. He'd do his utmost best to make her happy. He may not be Rowan, but perhaps he could be the next best thing. He was almost certain Annie liked him better than Corbin. But with her looking at him so earnestly, holding onto his hand expectantly, with that warm, kind expression he'd grown so fond of, Caleb understands he's been a selfish fool once more. This wasn't about offering something better to Annie or keeping her around for their pack's sake. If he so earnestly wished for her to mate with him instead, it was because he'd fallen in love with her. And he wanted her all to himself. Instead of trying to reunite her with Rowan, the mate Annie deserved, the man she claimed she'd always love, he'd come to her room, wanting to claim her. He felt sick to his stomach, but he was determined to fix things. He would make Annie happy, even if it meant giving her up. Annie, he begins, bringing her hand to his lips. You once said to me there was someone you would always love, that you'd prefer to be mated with. Annie searches his gaze, looking confused. Yes, but... Well, I came here tonight to tell you that this person does, in fact, love you, and that he would love nothing more than to have you for his mate. And if you let me, I promise you, Annie, I will make sure you... Annie throws her arms around his shoulders, burying her face into his neck. You love me? She asks, her voice full of hope and tears. You really love me, Caleb? I... Caleb interrupts himself, confused. What? He asks, disbelieving. Annie immediately recoils, looking terrified. I thought... You just said the person I loved felt the same, she says, her voice trembling slightly. She looks seconds away from crying. But I misunderstood, didn't I? She lowers her eyes, twisting her hands nervously. Of course, you don't feel this way about me. She looks like she's about to move away. Caleb doesn't think he'll survive it. He grabs her arms and pulls her onto his lap, heart leaping. "Of course I love you, Annie," he tells her, awed by how ridiculously happy she seems at the news. "But you said there's someone you've loved since forever and that you'd always loved, so..." Caleb had assumed Annie meant Rowan. "Yes," she says, placing her small hand onto his. "It's you. It's always been you." Forgetting customs, the fact that Annie is currently engaged to another man, and that Caleb hadn't yet requested permission to court her from their alpha, he takes her face in his hands and pulls the woman he loves into a kiss, with the thought that he hadn't known what real happiness felt like until this very moment. "Break your engagement, Annie," he begs, bringing their foreheads together. "Be my mate instead." "Yours?" Annie asks, tears of joy streaming down her face. "Really?" "Yes. Please, will you accept me as your mate and make me the happiest man in our entire pack?" Annie's eyes widen in surprise, but then a slow, hopeful smile grazes her lips. "Yes," she replies. "Yes, of course I will." Chapter 11. Iris. Back at the shop, Adrian is staring at our dinner with a disgusted expression. "And what is this supposed to be?" he asks. I ignore him.
"Do you think Annie's gotten her wish by now?" I ask him nervously.
"Undoubtedly," Adrian replies, bringing his fork to his nose to smell my dish. "I think it's burnt," he complains.
"Poor Annie. I don't think I'm going to get any sleep tonight. Why did my father leave me with a maniac who ruins people's lives? It makes no sense. Even Adrian's own rules don't make sense. Is anything he ever said to me about his work even true? He always claimed he couldn't grant wishes for free, and yet... How come you agreed to grant her wish for nothing in return?" I ask.
"I thought you said you couldn't."
"Because I didn't actually grant her anything," Adrian replies with a shrug. "She got what she wanted, magic free."
I frown in confusion, unsure what that means, though I do feel some relief knowing Annie was essentially fine, apparently. "Well, Caleb will be relieved to see things end well for her, I guess," I declare, having considered the matter. "I guess maybe you didn't ruin anyone's life today, then. Good on you."
"I guess not," Adrian replies, making his way back to the stove to prepare some pasta.
"Though you still took the thing he loved most," I observe, considering.
"Don't you think he'll miss it?"
"Not really. If anything, it was holding him back." Seeing my confused expression, he sighs and adds,
"It was his fear. His fear of losing the people he loved. He was holding onto it like his most precious possession. So, it's what I took from him, as a price for his wish."
That particular piece of news takes me a good minute to process.
"His fear?" I then exclaim. "But that sucks! How does it benefit you, taking someone's fear away?"
If anything, he actually helped the person, on top of granting his wish. From what I gathered, this wasn't how things were supposed to work. Adrian pours too much pasta into the boiling water. I can't read his expression and am left staring at his back.
"I guess we'll find out," he eventually replies, before getting started on a sauce.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you really enjoyed that one. What about you? If the person you'd always loved was about to marry someone else, would you stay silent like Annie, or would you speak up? Drop your answer in the comments. If you liked it, please help support more of our stories by hitting the like button. See you soon for another story. Love, Lily.